Warren Markowitz Show. It's his world. You just live in it.
Red State Talk Radio, WRS Digital, Cleveland, Tennessee.
Those who would trade our freedom for the soup kitchen of the welfare state have told us they have a utopian solution of peace without victory. They call their policy accommodation. And they say if we'll only avoid any direct confrontation with the enemy, he'll forget his evil ways and learn to love us.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Politics, 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 politics.
That's right.
The voice
it's politics,
of American
politics,
conservatism,
politics.
WRS Digital.
Whoops. Hang on a second here, guys. Welcome and good morning. Hi, I'm your host, Warren Markowitz, and this is Politically Incorrect on the Warren Markowitz Show, and I think it is a wonderful example to start off with a technical defect. Reason being is at this point in our life cycle, politically speaking, America is in the midst of a technical malfunction. Our Constitution is being turned on edge. Fear runs rampant. Clowns are making the news. And we're not just talking about Trump and Hillary. It is a one step after another adventure into what makes me feel safe and where I can go to be safe and how I can keep the bad guys with the bad words away from me because, you know, they upset me and I'm afraid that, you know, I don't know, you might trigger some microaggression in me and therefore I'll be upset because you're disrespectful for situations and things that you have no idea about, but you should be aware of it, and you don't call me by the right name or the right gender pronoun or gender. Folks, we have gone completely around the bend to reality. It is not just happening here in the United States. It is happening in Canada. It is happening in our universities. It is happening in our schools. It is happening in our community centers. It is happening in the everyday interactions that you and I have. This is the topic for today. We've been politically incorrect since the beginning of this show. The show has been running for almost 4 years. And here's the thing. Everything we have talked about, every little piece we have discussed, every little idea that we have engendered into the thought process has come back to bite. Because guess what? It is the real thing. So before we get lost in this conversation, and we want to have an opportunity to discuss it further, I want you to remember to visit us at facebook.com/Radio Markowitz. Sign up and listen to or follow our Twitter account at Radio Markowitz. Of course, you can get us at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker.com, Podomatic.com, and iTunes. And if you have any questions or comments, you can always find us at Radio Markowitz on Skype. We've finally gotten the system fixed that you can actually patch yourself in. So if you'd like to have share a comment with us, or you'd like to share a part of the discussion, you can ring us up at Radio Markowitz on Skype. I'll put you right in, and we will talk about it. Today's topic, though, is language. It is concepts and ideas that revolve around politically incorrect speech. And you're really not going to like where this is going because it is getting freaking weird. I'm your host, Warren Markowitz. Please join me today. Sit back, relax. I'll be right back after this very necessary commercial break.
The voice of American conservatism, WRS Digital, Red State Talk Radio.
This program is brought to you by the Law Office of Warren R. Markowitz, Esquire. Attorney Markowitz, that's me, is licensed in New York, the U.S. District Court and Bankruptcy Courts in Colorado, and the 9th and 10th Circuit Courts of Appeal. For more information or to see if I can help you with your case, please contact me at info@markowitzlawfirm.com. That's markowitzlawfirm.com. Warren Markowitz Esquire, a modern lawyer for modern times. Cryptocurrency and traditional forms of payment accepted.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-605-6818. That's 800-605-6818. 800-605-6818.
It's his world. You just live in it. This is the Warren Markowitz Show.
Okay, it is my world, but guess what? We all get to live in it because it seems that the gremlins rattling around inside my head for the last couple of years are proving me right. And sometimes, just sometimes, you just want to be the guy that's screaming, the sky is falling and nothing is right. But here's the thing, folks. Here's the thing. In the 1960s in America, we were at the height of the racial tensions of that era. We had protests. We had marches. We had demonstrations. We had voter riots. We had riots in general. We had people, and this is not just a painted poorly, we had people being harmed because of the color of their skin, because of their religion, because of their agreement with politics that was not appropriate for the day. But the bottom line happens to be very simple. That was a tender walk in the park compared to what's coming, compared to what we have staring us in the face today. You know, I'm one of the few, and if you think about this, the baby boomers grew up still in a segregated society. Those that came, you know, that were born during or thereabouts after the war grew up in a segregated society. The grandparents or the parents of that era are gone. So the old remnants of segregation, of racial tensions, racial hatred, they're all, how do I put it? They're on the back burner. They're literally, if they're still around at all, on life support. And from the 1960s to the 1970s to the 1980s, we worked and we struggled and we fought our way through to a point in which we worked to raise ourselves to the concepts of equality based upon who we were, what we can accomplish, and what our character showed us. Our actions spoke louder than our words. Remember those signs? Remember the being told that when you said to somebody, well, I'm sorry, well, your actions speak louder than your words. And then you had to prove it by conducting yourself in a fashion that said, hey, this I'm proving the fact that, you know, either I'm changing my behavior, I'm sorry, or whatnot. But your actions were important. Because your actions actually touched people. They actually reached out and impacted an individual. Yeah, you could say bad things, and you got the sticks and stones may break my bones. And if you're a little freaky, it was whips and chains excite me. But sticks and stones, remember that? It was never about words. It was never about words. It was about what you did, how you conducted yourself, who you hung out with, who you associated with, what they could, what people used to paint the picture of who you were. I mean, the concept and idea that, you know, we can have this conversation, that we can be talking on a computer and being listened to around the world, was just, well, it was fantastic. The only idea of listening from one part of the world to the other part of the world in most generations was shortwave radio. And, you know, Radio Free America during World War II, during Korea, during Vietnam, those ideas where you could share thoughts, but it was, you know, it was radio waves. It wasn't like you can plug a computer in Moscow and listen to something out of New York City. It wasn't, those things weren't there. But over the time, we grew up. We realized that, you know, our neighbors, regardless of what the color they were, if they kept their house in good order, if they took care of their, if their kids were, you know, were social and appropriately behaved and showed respect to their neighbors, everything was hunky-dory. Everything was good. Now, people held ideas and thoughts that were not necessarily mainstream, but not necessarily radicalized either. But now, we're really seeing the appreciation and the importance of things such as the First and Second Amendments. Now, I'm not going to get into the gun debate. Okay, most of the people who listen to this show are either firearm supporters, constitutionalists, intelligent people that recognize the fact that police can't be everywhere at all times, responsible individuals who own firearms, and I'm sure there's a bunch of you that are irresponsible individuals that own firearms, and you should do something about it for yourself. Again, actions speak louder than words. And we've always heard, well, we don't. What do we need the Second Amendment for? What do we need the Second Amendment for? Because, you know, we have the police to protect us. And it's never been about the police. It's never been about the rights to hunt. It's been about the simple rights of a free man or a free woman to be able to stand up when necessary and have the tools to defend themselves and their family and their property and their livelihood. And the argument goes back and forth. Whether it's Democrats, Republicans, Independents, it doesn't make a difference. That argument goes back and forth. But the argument that most people don't seem to recognize, the one that really hits home, and the one that sometimes people throw in our faces and say, well, see, the Second Amendment wasn't as important. You know, the right to own firearms wasn't as important. The right to free speech, the right to political speech, the right to hold ideas and concepts. That was the most important one. The right to associate with people you wanted to. That's right. There's a reason why the First Amendment was put up there, to redress grievances with our government, to be able to speak freely politically. The reason we have a right, a recognized right, not a right given by the government, a recognized right, that we have the right to associate with people of similar beliefs or even people of non-similar beliefs, to gather together and discuss things, to protest, to shout, to scream, to make our voices heard. But now, what we see is that people want to criminalize thought, not actions, thought and speech that they find offensive. How do they find it offensive? Calling a person who decides that they're a girl today by the wrong pronoun. Saying something that might trigger an emotional response from somebody. Talking about a topic that might be considered taboo, such as discussing rape or incest or abortion or gun ownership. The idea of talking about something now becomes offensive and criminalized, and a section of speech in which you or I can't have a legitimate conversation, because as my father, who would probably be at this point in time, if he was still alive, looking at me going, you're out of your freaking mind, Warren, this possibly can't be happening. But it is. It's happening in our universities, where we have segregated housing again. Not because it's being forced upon it by the institution, but because the students want it. Because they're afraid to interact with people that are different because they might not be appreciated for who they are. Just remember something. You want to be appreciated for somebody, for something that you are. You want to be recognized for who you are. Do something recognizable. Do something that people respect. Conduct yourself in a fashion, in a way, that people will want to emulate you. America doesn't produce heroes anymore. Now everybody's a hero. Everyone's a hero. The cops are heroes. The firemen are heroes. The soldiers are heroes. Let me explain. Let me share a thought. A fireman, in my opinion, is a hero. Everybody's running out of a burning building. This lunatic decides, this is a good place for me to be. I'm going to run into the building. People are heroes when they do heroic things, not when they do jobs that others don't want to do. We're compensated accordingly. A barista is not paid the same amount of money as a fireman because a barista's potential loss of life, limb, or anything else for that matter, is considerably lower. A fry cook is not paid the same as a cop because, well, you're not out there dealing with people all the time, and you're not out there dealing with people who simply might have the opportunity to harm you. It's not that way. Never has been that way. Shouldn't be that way. Now, this thing about soldiers, everybody being heroes. Well, you know what? I didn't wear the uniform. My brother wore a uniform for over 20 years. Thankfully, he never saw combat. He was away from the family for a long time, but he never saw combat, at least not that I'm aware of. And he certainly hasn't shared it with my mother, who would probably strangle him if she found out. But heroic actions is what defines heroes, not the fact that you put on a suit or you dress a certain way. It's your conduct. You know, one of the biggest problems, and I'll get back to the speech issue because this is really what it boils down to. One of the biggest problems that we've had and found with Donald Trump is that they don't like the way he talks. He offends people. He upsets people. So what? Politics in this world is offensive. It's upsetting. Hillary does the same thing to me. She upsets me too. Donald upsets me. The idiot Gary Johnson, who can't figure out what part of the world Aleppo is in, upsets me. But it's part of interacting with people. You know, finishing up the hero's idea, Trump said that John McCain wasn't a hero because he got captured. No. He wasn't a hero because he got captured. He was a pilot doing his duty, and his plane got shot out from underneath his ass, and he wound up getting captured. That's where his story begins, not ends. I don't disrespect John McCain for the service he gave to the country. I don't disrespect his family for wearing the uniform. I don't disrespect him for having his plane blown up. But I do respect him for the fact that he never left. He wouldn't leave his fellow soldiers behind. He endured horrors and damage to himself, psychologically, physically, because he refused to do the easy thing, pack up and leave. That's heroic. But these kids will never understand it. These people of this generation will never understand it. These future decision makers will never understand it because to them everything is heroic. They're the generation of everybody gets a participation medal. Everybody gets a recognition for showing up, for putting your name on a paper. You get 10 points for putting your name on a paper. Remember that in the story? Remember that? When taking tests in school? Don't forget to spell your name correctly. You get 10 points for doing that. You see, words and language now are being criminalized. The ideas and thoughts are being criminalized. We're being turned into a generation of thought police. Not actions, thoughts, people you associate with. And it's happening faster in smaller communities, but we don't recognize it in the larger ones. It's happening in Canada. That's what we're going to go to after this. It's happening in our universities. It's happening in our high schools. Because people refuse to accept each other for who they are. Not what they are. Who they are. But yet we're being told you can't associate all Muslims with terrorists, even though recently all terrorists have been Muslims. So deciding that you want to deal with the problem from an identifiable point has now become offensive. It's crazy, folks. It's getting out of hand. And we have got to take a stand. I'll be right back.
Lock it in. And rip the knob off. Red State Talk Radio.
Freedom comes with a price. Responsibility. This is the Warren Markowitz Show.
Do you take Viagra? Are you tired of overpaying for your pills? What if you could get the exact same results for just a fraction of the price, guaranteed? Well, now you can with Sildenafil, the active ingredient in Viagra. With 20-milligram generic Sildenafil tablets, you get the exact same results of Viagra for less than $2 per pill. And again, the results are guaranteed. That's right, absolutely guaranteed results for a fraction of the cost of Viagra. So give your wallet a break and call us toll-free at 800-217-0599 to get your generic Sildenafil delivered discreetly to your door. And of course, while saving hundreds of dollars, you'll also be saving time by saying goodbye to those long, embarrassing pharmacy lines once and for all. Again, just call 800-217-0599 and get your generic Sildenafil with a 100% money-back guarantee. Getting your pills doesn't get any easier or cheaper than this. So call 800-217-0599 now.
Hi, I'm Warren Markowitz, host of the Warren Markowitz Show. Catch me every Tuesday and Friday at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time on Spreaker.com to talk about politics, economics, and anything else that just might tickle my fancy.
Okay, we are back, and thank you very much for giving me an opportunity to take a deep breath and figure out where we're going. I wanted to share something with you. The gentleman's name is Jeffrey Winehouse, W-E-I-N-H-A-U-S. Jeff is, in my opinion, a political prisoner as a guest of the state of Missouri, and he is raising funds to hire a lawyer to help him overturn a conviction that the evidence certainly didn't support. I've looked at his case. I will be working with him. It is my intention to work with him. Please check us out at fundedjustice.com. And if you also visit the webpage and Facebook pages for Radio Markowitz and my law firm, the Markowitz Law Firm, WRMESQ, on Facebook and on Twitter, you'll see links to the Funded Justice page to help support Jeffrey Winehouse. It is a very telling story. It takes a lot longer than a 30-second spot to do so. But needless to say that if he is silenced, we are all silenced, because his issues are just about the same as what we're talking about today. He said some things that were politically protected. People were offended by it. And one thing led to another. Next thing you know, the man gets shot 4 times and is lucky enough not to be dead, but is serving 30 years in prison. So check him out. Jeff Winehouse, W-E-I-N-H-A-U-S. The page is up at Funded Justice. There'll be a page on my website at themarkowitzlawfirm.com. But you'll also find us at facebook.com and at on our Twitter feeds at Radio Markowitz. Okay, enough with that. The issues we've got today are fairly simple. It used to be about abortion. It used to be about civil rights. It used to be about desegregating the schools and desegregating the housing and forcing people to recognize that just because your neighbor is black, brown, or striped, or yellow, or red, or white, that they're just your neighbors. They live in the same area. They live in a similar home. They live in middle-class America tract housing, or even in public housing, but they're your neighbors. They're the people you associate with every day, the people your kids go to school with, the people that you that you're a part of. They were a part of your world. Now, it's become reversed. We're going backwards. We're going back to the 1950s and the 1960s. Where blacks come in one way, or Latinos going in another way, or whites going a third. I'm waiting to see a blacks only water fountain pop up, I swear to you. But it's not, and here's the thing, it's not being driven by the institutions. know, we used to talk about institutional racism. We used to talk about the idea that the institutions were a reflection of society, and society wanted it a certain way, and so we conducted ourselves a certain way, both in our business and in our personal lives. Now we're getting a situation where people are driving the institutions, where the ideas and concepts of segregation are coming back. And they're coming back because people don't want to talk. People are afraid to talk because they're afraid of ideas. See, Canada, there's a couple of things going on. University of Toronto, there was an article recently about a professor who they wanted to force this man to take, what was the term? Hold on a second here. What was the term? They wanted, it was, just, sorry to do this to you, but this is really, this was, anti-oppression training. They wanted a professor to be forced, and they wanted it to be, here, there's a, the article was heatstreet.com. It was Canadian students demand censure of bigoted professor who refuses to use correct gender pronouns. Students at the University of Toronto are enraged that psychology professor Jordan Peterson is refusing to let people decide what gender pronouns he uses to address them. The student union released a list of demands, which includes a forced apology by Professor Peterson and his removal of his transphobic and racist lectures from YouTube. So here we are. The people are upset because somebody doesn't agree with them. Hey, listen, it has taken us decades, if not centuries, as a society and a culture to even recognize the concept and theory and idea of gay marriage. Whether you support it or not, whether you're interested in it or not, it doesn't make a difference. Whether you find it biblically repulsive or socially unacceptable or just downright confusing, it doesn't matter. Society has accepted the fact that two people of the same gender in one form or another can be married, can have a relationship. Okay, I'm good with that. I don't know. You know what? I'm good with the fact that society decides, because as a white, straight, heterosexual man, well, as a white, heterosexual male, I'm now becoming a quick minority. Add in the other hyphenated issue of being a Jew and a father and, you know, and a professional, and I'm probably falling further and further onto the minority ladder. But these things are pushing reality to the limits, because now we have to talk about non-binary. We need to talk about binary, androgynous, trans this, trans that, questioning everything that goes along. Remember the word queer? Remember growing up with the word queer and everybody said, oh, that guy's queer, that girl's queer. Yeah, it used to mean, well, I think it used to mean that somebody was gay. They were odd. They were, but queer went from being odd to weird to being gay. And now gay is acceptable and queer is now again acceptable. So it's like, you know, somebody give me a book with the translation matrix in it, because I'm getting lost in stupidity. You know, 1 minute something offends you, next minute something doesn't offend you. And, you know, we went from Negroes to blacks to African Americans. And we had some other stuff thrown in there as well in the middle. And time again, if you used the wrong word, you got looked down upon. You know, was it 2014? There were, or 2015, there was a video that, I'll mention it right out. Clive and Bundy, the 2014 BLM I'm using air quotes here, standoff. And during this air quote standoff, on air quote, a comment was made, or afterwards a comment was made by Cliven Bundy, who was the alleged, you know what? This is really just bullshit. I read the indictment. This is crazy. He was called a conspiratorial leader. All right? So I'm not even going to give it credit by recognizing it. But anyway, he made a speech, and it was videotaped. It was put on YouTube and so forth, where he referred to blacks as Negroes, or to African Americans as Negroes, and that society itself was putting us back in chains again. And because he used words from a generation or two that were normal and commonplace, the man was denigrated. I've met him several times. And he's not smart enough to be a conspiratorial leader, in my opinion, nor is he racist to look at, you know, call people anything other than what he grew up with. You see, that's the thing. We're now criminalizing or attempting to criminalize words instead of actions. Would I like it if somebody decided to call me a kike? No. No, I'd probably get really upset about the whole idea if somebody did that. Would I be upset if somebody called me a dirty Jew? Yeah, I'd probably be just as upset if somebody called me that as opposed to the other one. But if they didn't pick their hands up to me, I'd recognize that they were nothing more than a barking dog. And probably had nothing more than their bark is worse than their bite. Would I concern myself with their potential behavior? Probably. I'd have to see what the body language said as well as what the words did. Again, I'd have to look at the actions. But when you've got students who are offended by a professor who is refusing to give into their game, to allowing them to dictate the educational environment, then what you've got is a professor who's doing his job. Now, I don't know if this guy's left or right. I don't know if he thinks centrally or he's a social radical or a lunatic independent or an anarchist. And it doesn't really make a difference, because the educational environment is there to stretch and push and pull and prod and force you to learn things that are probably, in most cases, uncomfortable. Now, a couple of months back, I read articles, I think it was in the ABA Journal, where students were offended by discussing rape cases or violence cases, assault cases, in a criminal classroom in law school. They were offended by it. It triggered people. It had potential microaggressions and triggering words, like rape and like force and like violence and like guns and all the little things that people so are upset about and wonder about it. How do you learn things? Are you not supposed to stretch your imagination and stretch your world and stretch your thoughts? Well, we're faced with things like this. Bill C-5-1. This is the T-Y-E-E, News, Culture, and Solutions. This is from Canada again. And I'm using Canada as an example today because the smaller society in Canada moves a lot faster than America does. But overall, it's a good reflection on, in my opinion, on America. Second in a series to help you participate in a federal consultation on national security, Bill C-5-1, this is an opinion piece, less free speech undermines de-radicalization. And the idea behind this is that this is part of the radicalization prevention efforts where the government they're looking to restrict language in order to de-radicalize people. You just restrict anything, you're going to radicalize people overall. There are also other objects where criminalizing social media. New report reviews a bridging online speech that advocates terrorism. Congressional Research Service recently released a report that explores when it is permissible for the government to restrict online speech that advocates for terrorism. Basically, it covers the report covers the Brandenburg v. Ohio and Holder v. Humanitarian Law Project as fundamental cases in this matter. The point being, and by the way, that was boardc.org, and I pulled that today. It was from a September 23rd article. Time and time again, we're finding ourselves in a position where you can't have a conversation with people, where you're afraid to say what you want to say because, in general, you don't know how people are going to react. Well, here's the thing. People are not going to react favorably, in general, to ideas that they don't like. But we're getting to the point where people are now reacting negatively about the thought of ideas that they don't like. You know, it started out, believe it or not, it started out with the idea of bullying. You can't say this and you can't do that and you can't say the next thing because you can't, you're bullying people. You're forcing them to behave in ways that would be against them. Well, guess what? This is professional bullying. This is people bullying society into behaving a certain way. I'll be very, very frank with you. This transgender changed myself from a boy to a girl. I can't figure out what I am today or what I was yesterday. I don't know if I'm going to be dressing in a skirt or if I'm going to be wearing pants today. I don't know if I'm going to wear my hair long. It confuses the daylights out of me. Okay, I was in an Einstein. I said this last week. I was in an Einstein bagel. And in walks this skinny, I mean, wafy thin, what appeared, you know, woman in skin-tight jeans, clunky high heel shoes, long hair, big leather bag. And when she turned around, it was a guy who needed to shave. And I couldn't figure out what the hell to do. I couldn't figure out where I was going with this, but I had to tell somebody. So I'm telling you again, if you want to behave that way, fine. If you want to walk around topless, fine. You want to walk around where it's legal to be naked, fine. You want to walk around with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, you want to share public displays of affection, fine. Remember something. Best part about America is we get to respect what we want. We respect each other. Nothing ever requires us to approve it. Nothing ever requires us to approve what we're saying. Just because a speaker has, you know, says words that are opposite of what you want or offensive of what you want doesn't mean they should be restricted. Maybe you should ask questions. That's all. That's all it boils down to. I'll be right back after this break. Sit tight.
The Warren Markowitz Show. If you're thinking about it, we're probably talking about it.
Mostly Mail, your local provider for all your postal packaging and mailing needs. Owned and operated by your neighbors, Mostly Mail provides the packaging and mailing services you need when dealing with all your holiday shipping. Visit Bill and the Boys at 7260 West Azure Drive, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89130. Or give them a call at 702-294-6245. That's 702-294-6245 for more information. Mostly Mail, your local provider for postal packaging and mailing needs. They keep me connected. They can keep you connected. Stop on in and tell them Warren sent you.
This is Paul Preston, host of Agenda 21 Radio. Join me Monday through Friday on Red State Talk Radio, the dominant force in conservative internet talk radio. So lock it in and rip the knob off.
All right, so ask yourself this question. I'll ask myself this question. You can listen in. How do we deal with this? What do we have to do when it comes down to dealing with people that want to criminalize speech, that want to turn you into a hateful individual because you said a bad word? Because that's what it boils down to. That's all it boils down to. It doesn't boil down to respecting oneself. It doesn't boil down to the fact that we have to address the issues and deal with the problems. It comes down to, you said something that hurt my feelings. Let me explain, or let me share with you the rest of the world. They don't give a damn. They don't give a shit. They don't could care less. They really don't worry about it, and it makes you look like an oversized pussy. Which, by the way, is insulting to an oversized pussy because of its ability to stretch, pull, and struggle. You have none of those abilities. You have none of those feelings. You have none of those strengths. That's what those people are. They're fearful. They're shelter-in-place individuals. They bury their head in their sand, ostriches, hoping that the bad guy will go away. Not that they are going to be protected, but they expect you to behave like their feelings are important. I guess the thing that bothers me the most is I was never raised in a situation where I had to worry about forcing myself upon others. I was told that when I spoke, I was told that when I carried myself and behaved, that I would have to read the audience, that I would have to understand who I was dealing with. I would have to conduct myself in a fashion that was realistically appropriate to people so that I could be recognized and respected. I had to make my language fit so that people understood it. I didn't have to worry about stepping on eggshells or ignoring or simply playing games to the point where I had to edit myself time and time again. You see, what gets me, what really bugs the daylights out of me, is that we are allowing ourselves to be manipulated to the point where everything we say is now offensive, taken out of context, and not necessarily recognized for the value of our arguments. You see, that's the key. If I upset you when I talk to you, fine, tell me why. If you're going to be offended by the idea that I disagree with you, well, I guess you didn't do enough to either convince me that you're right or that your argument has any validity. Because that in and of itself is the important part of the argument. Offensive words are nothing more than words that we have determined to be inappropriate under a certain circumstance or a certain time frame. At one point, the term nigger was everyday usage. Now it's just simply inappropriate. It's disrespectful. It's not good to be used. That's the reason why good people don't use it in good company. It's that easy. It's that simple. I've used it today several times, not because I'm looking to offend anybody, not because I'm looking to shock anybody, but because George Carlin isn't here to share the 7 dirty words with us. And before the man died and left us with a shitload of great political commentary, he continued to expand the fact and show us that the issues expanded time and time again. Ignoring people, or I shouldn't say that. Ignoring the fact that people are upset because students want professors to post retractions or remove transphobic and racist lectures. I don't even know what transphobic is, do you? Or have a town hall with a professor because, you know, black lives matter but blue ones don't and white ones aren't important and all lives aren't. And if you use the term all lives matter, then you're offending everybody. Time and time again, those are not appropriate courses of action. This is not what we teach our kids. The issue happens to be we teach what we want our society to become. If we want our society to become to be respectful of others, we teach respect for oneself. If you carry yourself like a bum with your pants around your knees and your underwear hanging out, people are going to treat you like a piece of garbage. Why? Because it's criminal behavior. Not saying you're a criminal, but that's where the behavior came from. So why aren't people recognizing that? Why is it now popular to be wearing your pants around your knees? Saggy pants, by the way, started in a Texas prison. It's inappropriate anywhere, including a prison. When we go back to the protesters in the 60s, they weren't burning their cars. They weren't tossing people over. Yeah, we had our riots, and believe me, we'll probably have some in the future. Society boils over. Think of what happened in Ferguson. Think of what happened in Baltimore. It was just a tipping point. People get to a point in which they've had too much and can't take it no more. And that's what happens. Do I appreciate what happened? No. Does anybody appreciate the fact that Ferguson burned itself to the ground, that Baltimore was burning itself to the ground, that people were rioting and destroying things, and that businesses were being... No. The least amount, or the least of, was the fact that the people there didn't appreciate that fact. But when we look and we... When we attempt to just simply manipulate the situation for a narrative to fit our world into a point where we have to tell the story so it fits what we have to say. No, I'm sorry to tell you this. As a lawyer, sometimes I'm supposed to show, well, actually, I'm always supposed to show, if I can, a situation that's opposite my set of facts. I have to show the court the other side of the equation. I either have to show the other side of the equation and say, well, my story doesn't fit this, and this is why you should side with me and not with the precedent, or this is what the precedent has shown, but this is the opposing viewpoint, and this may still be valid depending upon what, you know, certain circumstances. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that it may have been okay for states to ban gay marriage because it was a state's authority to govern who got married. We may want to hear that at one point it was okay for states to restrict abortion because it was the right, you know, the government didn't step in. It was the rights of the states to determine what was acceptable and what was not acceptable. We may want to forget the simple fact that at one point or another, it was acceptable to own other people as property, as chattel. And then it took the blood of 600,000 to turn it around. We may simply want to ignore the simple fact that while Hillary has done a multitude of bad or not exactly sufficiently good in her 30-plus years in public service, which, by the way, anybody who lasts that long really does deserve an award, not necessarily the White House, is a little bit more impactful than Donald's dirty words or his inappropriate behavior or his taking advantage of the tax code that he didn't write. I'm sorry. If you earn your money and you want to keep your money, you take advantage of deductions and structures and such that the person who creates the rules give you. That's what they're upset about. They're upset about words, not actions. The people today are more concerned with what you say than what you do. Remember, at one point, we were told Benghazi was the result of a spontaneous protest over a two-year-old or a three-year-old video on YouTube depicting the pedophilia and the downright disgusting behavior of Muhammad. But, you know, last time I checked, protesters, I don't care where you are, didn't show up with RPGs. They don't show up by the hundreds and charge an armed compound. They would chant, and they would put posters, and they might throw rocks, but they don't try to murder the people on the inside because they disagree with them. By the way, that's the direction our society is going. Our society is going in the direction of, if you don't agree with me, I'm going to kill you. If you don't agree with me, I'm going to murder you. If you don't agree with me, I am going to hurt you. Because that is the next stop. It's either that or the gulag. I haven't figured out which one it is. Because political correctness doesn't have its start in America. Political correctness started itself, or the concept that started itself, I believe it was the Stalin era. It may have been before that. It's the idea of speaking without offending the powers that be. It's the idea of saying something that fits within the political narrative of the time. Here's what I want. We at least recognize that the Constitution puts limits on government. Not on the people, but on the government. I want to be able to have a discussion without somebody turning around saying, I'm offended by it. We're not talking about dragging up and referring to people, well, as Nazis or as pedophiles, unless, of course, they happen to be Nazis or pedophiles. I'm talking about having a real-life, down-to-earth political discussion where people are not offended by words, but recognize the evil in the actions. Because here's the thing. How can you... We've got two political candidates, major candidates. The minor ones are not realistic, in my opinion. Not at this point. Not yet. Okay, that's the thing. Good people don't go into politics. Good people don't advance political issues because politics is just a dirty business. It really is a business, and it really is freaking dirty. What the world is, and what we're facing today, is we've got, on one hand, somebody who said something that people are offended by and upset with. And on the other hand, we have a person who has lied to us, changed the story, has taken money from groups that appear to be in charge of the very group we're trying to destroy. So the term is playing both ends against the middle. And guess what? You and I are in the freaking middle. And overall, being made to feel and being pushed into the position in which we have to choose because there is no other alternative. Remember something. In four very, very short weeks, most of America goes to the polls. Most of America will need to make a choice. Are you going to choose the person that points out the fact that the other guy speaks and has dirty words and is offensive to people and makes people get upset? Or are you going to choose the person who has lied, cheated, stolen, manipulated, and be an overall political opportunist for most of her professional life? I don't care if Donald had bankruptcies as a business person. I don't care if he used the financial tools that were available to him. I don't care any of that. Actions speak louder than words, and right now what we have is we've got an unpolished loudmouth on one side, who can be taught, and on the other side, we have a professional politician, an opportunist. Choice is up to us, America. But at this point in time, we have crossed the Rubicon. And if we don't pay attention, Caesar will return to Rome, and our rights and our freedoms and our goals will disappear. because they just don't fit the political narrative. Thanks for your time. I'm Warren Markowitz. This is Politically Incorrect on a Warren Markowitz Show. Check us out online. I'll see you soon. Be good. Bye-bye. Thanks for joining me.
The Warren Markowitz Show. Politically incorrect speech for politically correct times.
Tune in to Red State Talk Radio, the new media's talk monster for grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio.
That's what freedom is all about.
Red State Talk Radio, WRS Digital, Cleveland, Tennessee.